Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come once again tonight in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that you would help us, O God, to open our hearts again to receive from thy word, and knowing that the bride has, thus saith the Lord, and shall keep still. And so, Father, we not only have, thus saith the Lord, but you said that we would know what to do with it. And so, Father, we just ask you to be with us and comfort us, O God, with the words that you have for us from our precious brother, Brother Samuel Taggett. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm not sure which one is actually the
dark one.
The dark one's inside?
All right, that's the dark. Brother, you have a soft voice, so I requested that you use this today. All right, so God bless you.
It doesn't stretch too far, so you're limited to your... kind of got your chain to the pulpit here. Okay.
So may God bless you again.
Amen.
We appreciate God. He has brought us back again in his house. I believe we are in the spirit of Mary, who said he was happy when they said unto him, let's go to the house of the Lord. And everybody is happy to come to the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm going to be blessed in the morning. I think we shall not take much time. We just want to stand up again on our feet as we go to the scriptures. And I won't read again from the book of Ephesians. From the book of Ephesians, and before we read, we just have to bow down our heads for our prayer again. Our mighty Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this privilege that Lord you have granted to us to come back in thine house just to break the bread of life that Lord you gave unto us in this evening time. Through our prophet, William Allen Branham, we don't follow you, ordain him, our Father, to bring the word for this age, to bring us the realization of who we are. May you grant us to Lord again this evening. As you open the Bible, may you anoint him, come down and speak to us, Father Lord, through thy word. I bring everything under subjection to your presence in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1 and from verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So we are blessed not with a few or some, but with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So any blessing that we want to think about this evening is already yours. That's what I want to say. Amen. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. May the Lord bless the name of his word. You can be seated. saw, we're speaking in the morning about the predestinated sons for adoption, and we talked many things about how we're in the mind of God, and we have to be manifested in this evening time. So I just want to continue from there and talk about the manifested sons for adoption. The designated sons for adoption, now manifested sons for adoption. Remember, adoption has three stages: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to be born, then you have to be sanctified, and you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you can now go for adoption. Amen. I just want to read one quote from here, from the Church Age book. Brother Ram says in page 152. Says here, these who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, and the predestinated foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and in his thoughts. Amen. In a very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally,
yeah,
though not expressed until it came forth in a designated, decreed season. That's why we are here tonight, because God designated us to be in this season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him, came from the same source, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body. Whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. So we came in the same source as Jesus Christ. God was manifested in one member, and that was the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
But now he is manifesting himself in a many-membered body.
Amen.
The same life, the same God, the same attributes are here now from the mind of God. Wonderful. Now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, which is God, was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in the flesh, and thereby gain the title of Son. Even so, we, eternal in thoughts, in our time, become the many-membered spoken word seed, manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Amen. So we are the same manifested sons of God, as Jesus was a manifested son of God. He was a one-member body. The fullness of God was in Jesus. Amen? Now, the same fullness of God is supposed to be in us also. That's what the prophet is trying to say here. That's why now, when we come to the adoption of sons, then the fullness of God comes in us, just as it was in Jesus. Amen. He says here, even as we are so called, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken them. Because the word must come on top of one. Then you can be quickened. Then he says, hold this carefully in mind. Now, take the next step. Redeem means to buy back, is to restore to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice. That's the one. And they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned to a sheep. That is impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind. And there is no change in species. And you were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh. There had to come a day when you would hear his voice, which is the word. And hearing that voice, we became aware of our Father calling us. And recognize that we are sons of God. Not servants, but sons of God. Mm-hmm. See? So we heard his voice, and then we cried out as they did the prodigal son. Save me, O my Father, I'm returning to thee. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. In fact, a lot of time, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was cast under the head. I believe all of us know the story of the baby eagle. The prophet explained to us is a mother eagle laid an egg somewhere, and then maybe a farmer picked it and put it under his hand, and it hatched. And after hatching, because it was hatched under the hand, it also was trying, you know, to act like the hand. But its nature was not the hand. It was only waiting for the mother eagle, which was its nature. At the moment it heard the eagle cry, which was already its nature, it responded to it. And that's why we were sons of God to begin with. Amen. Though on this earth, we're born here and started acting like human beings and walking like human beings and doing things like human beings, talking like human beings, thinking like human beings, because we're among the human beings. But we are supernatural beings. And now, the moment we had that supernatural word, we recognize who we are. And that's why we have come to the word. Because we were the word to begin with. Amen. So that we can be manifested as sons and daughters of God. Now, because we are sons, royal super seed of Abraham, that's why God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, with Christ, Abba, Father. Therefore, we are no longer slaves or servants of sin and unbelief, but sons. Amen? So, a true seed of God who has heard the voice of God, it recognizes his nature. And they blend together. They become one. The ego and the mother ego, they went together. Because they were the same. It could fly like the mother ego could fly. And the prophet says, if you stop scratching the earth, looking for worms, so does the same children of God. The moment they recognize the word of God, they stop scratching the world. They stop scratching, looking for worms. They now look for the heavenly things. Amen. Because they come from heaven and they are going back to heaven. And if any ego, any child of God is still scratching on the things of the world, it means it has never recognized the voice. It has never recognized himself. He has not known who he is. But the moment you hear that voice, amen, and you realize who you are, you'll be like the prodigal son. Say, Father, I've wasted a long time. I've wasted my time, but now I come back to you. And the Bible says the father was just waiting for him because he was a son. And when he came back home, he tried to make excuses and say, now, Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Maybe I can just be called a servant or whatever. The father said, no, you are my son. Amen? He was a son and he remained a son and will ever be a son. So even us, because we are his attributes, we are his sons and his daughters. It doesn't matter how much you have been in the world, we still are his sons. The moment you recognize the voice of the word, then you are received as a son. Amen? That's what the Bible says, we are no longer servants. That's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. We are no longer servants of sin. We are now fellow heirs with Christ. Heirs of the heavenly things, heavenly promises, as we read here in Ephesians. All the blessings in heavenly places are ours. We are heirs to him. Everything that God has. Amen. Yeah. All the heavenly blessings. Talk about power. Talk about redemption. Talk about adoption. Talk about, you know, deliverance. Talk about healing, joy. All that belongs to the sons of God. Amen. So it's you to recognize who you are and then you claim for your promises. Amen. For this reason, we have experienced our new birth. I believe every one of us, after hearing the word and recognizing who you are, you experience your new birth. Amen? Because we were the sons, seeds of God, for only the sons of God can be born again. And any man born out of the incorruptible seed by the word of God is a part of God. Wow! So, as I said in the morning, I'm speaking to supernatural beings. Amen. Hallelujah! People who have come from heaven and they are going back to heaven. They have a purpose on earth, and that is to manifest the Father. See? Then we are adopted, received as sons in the family of God by the blood of God through Christ Jesus. Now we are sealed into him after we have believed the word of truth. That's John chapter 16, verse 13, if you want to read, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. After believing the word of truth with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Amen. Mm-hmm. But your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your blessing. After being born in the kingdom of God as a son, then you have to grow until your adoption. The Father watches over you, watches over your character, how you are behaving. The prophet talked about the adopting of the Son in the Old Testament. And then he says, the Holy Spirit is the tutor who will be taking the report to the Father.
Amen.
Every time you are on earth, whatever you are doing, whatever you are talking, how you are behaving, how you are responding to the word. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit is taking the report day and night. What you are thinking about the word, he takes the report. Amen? So you might fear the pastor, you may fear somebody else, but not knowing the Holy Spirit is there to be taking the report about what you are doing. Whether a good report or a negative report. Amen. And that one is the one that leads you to adoption. Amen. The prophet says here in the message, adoption, page 114, if I can get it. He says, your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your blessing. When you were born again, that's John chapter 1 verse 17, I believe. When we are born of the Spirit of God, we are sons of God, but we were predestinated. You have to go through a process. God sees you before even the foundation of the world. He knows your beginning and he knows your end. Mm-hmm. So God is seeing the end of your adoption. And you find out that himself will lead you to your adoption. And he knows every trial, every temptation, everything that will come your way. And he knows that through those trials and temptations, you are going to come to your adoption. Because as you shall come down, you find out that without the trials, without the temptations, you cannot come to your position. Amen?
Right.
See? But you're predestinated. Now, there is what I'm trying to get you to. For these signs of the last day, you see, we were predestinated to and to adoption. I love that one. So, whether the devil wants it or not, or the unbelievers want it or not, or the world wants it or not, we were predestinated unto adoption.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God has predestinated us unto. Meaning that whether you want it or you don't want it, you are going to come to adoption. God has only predestinated it. God has only seen you coming to your position, to your adoption. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wonderful. See, let me read another quote. We were predestinated unto adoption. So whatever you're going to go through is pushing you to your adoption, to your position. Wow. Wow, I think I've missed that one. We can just continue on. You are firstborn into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit, but you are presented unto adoption. That's the blessing. We become children by birth, and the new birth and the conversion itself is by the Holy Ghost. And that's why you are not converted till you get the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus told Peter. After Peter was with him for 3.5 years. Amen? Peter was with Jesus. He was performing miracles. He was healing the sick and doing everything, preaching, but he was not yet converted. And then Jesus tells him, Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So meaning that Peter had to wait until the day of Pentecost. And then when Peter received the Holy Ghost, and then he was now converted. And that's why he was able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he was able to, you know, strengthen his brethren. So, you know, many, I think, of us blessed believers today, we just believe and end up there. We don't go forward looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, many are not converted in the message.
Amen.
I believe that's why we are having so many problems. Because even some preachers, they can preach, but they are not converted, like Peter. Mm-hmm. But we need to be converted. Amen?
Amen?
We need to receive the Holy Spirit, and then we get the conversion. Without the Holy Spirit, you are not converted. Yet, as long as he is a heir, a child, there is no difference between him and a servant. Though he is Lord of all. You are still a child, but you see, you are like a servant. That's why you find that you have to ask God for this and that until you come to be mature, adopted. Praise be to the Lord. I want to read one quote here. The message here is him. Preached in 60, I think that was in August 6th, paragraph 34. The prophet says, now when a son was born, he was a son. As soon as he was born, he was a born son to that home. But yet he didn't have any inheritance. How to get a brethren? He did not have any inheritance yet. He was not given authority until he came to a place that he proved himself to be a son. And then, when he was proved to be a son, then he was adopted in the family. And the law of adoption made him equal with the Father. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. The law of adoption in the Old Testament, when a son will come to maturity, an obedient son, obeying the voice of the Father and doing everything the Father wanted him to do, then he was brought to adoption, whereby the Father would take his clothes and give him his maybe scepter or whatever, and says, now, what he says is just exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that's when the prophet tells us what happened to Jesus Christ. When he was taken the Mount of Transfiguration, he was adopted. And in the River Jordan, amen, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, the voice only said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. That was the son. Mm-hmm. But then he had to go through trials, temptations, rejection by the Pharisees, and even trials through from the devil. Even some of the trials are coming from the apostles themselves. Mm-hmm. And when he was proved, then God called three witnesses of us. That was John, Peter, and James. Yeah. And then Elijah and Moses. And the Bible says, the voice came down saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. Hear ye him. Amen. All the authority, all the power, said Jesus, all the power in heaven has been given to me. I give them also to you. Amen. So we find out that his behavior is what set him to adoption. Whether he behaved right or not. Meaning that there are some sons of God who are going to remain sons, but they will not reach adoption. But they remain sons of God, but no adoption, no authority, no power. Mm-hmm. But they are sons of God. But they can't speak things to existence. They can't speak like Jesus Christ will speak. They cannot speak like Jesus Christ says, storm, calm down.
Amen.
Because they are not adopted. Like we said in the morning, Brother Branham was one of the first fruits who were adopted in this day. And that's why we say, storm, stay there. Mm-hmm. And sun, shine again. And it obeyed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He was adopted son. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's why he says, clean up, appear one from there, another one from there, another one from there, and all of them appear. And you see, when he was giving that testimony, I believe it was in the house of Sister Hattie or something like that, and Sister Hattie said, that is nothing but the truth. Brother Branham.
Amen.
Amen. And now, when you believe in the supernatural, then the supernatural will also happen.
Yes, amen.
Yes. That's why when Sarah says, oh, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham, the Holy Ghost comes down and says, give her the desire of her heart. Amen? Because Sister Hattie believed in the supernatural. And the supernatural had to come.
Yes.
And she was giving her sons. So we are, I said in the beginning, we are supernatural beings. And we believe in supernatural things.
Yes.
And I don't know, when I spoke in the morning, and said that, you know, when I opened the office, I found a cat hidden in the boxes. No, it takes only the supernatural people to believe that.
Yep.
Yes. And that's why when we talk about the supernatural things, like Brother was talking about the rainbow appearing, and you know, some people cannot imagine it, they don't believe it. But it takes the supernatural people to believe in supernatural things.
Yes.
And then they receive supernatural answers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You must be supernatural in order to receive supernatural things. Because everything of God is supernatural. That's how Abraham believed, and he was given a son, a man of 100 years. It was a supernatural promise. And he received it in a supernatural way. Amen. So, let me just read something again. So, God looks at the behavior. So, if your behavior is not coming with the word of God, or you remain a son, a message will be a good one, but no adoption.
Yep. Amen.
The prophet says here, in the message adoption, page 114, what's everything waiting on? What's the whole creation waiting for? The manifestations of the sons of God. It's waiting for the church to become into its position. Mm-hmm. Who was the son of God? When Adam, where was his domain? The earth. He had domain over the earth. Is that right? Congregation says amen. He wasn't Elohim then. He was Jehovah. See? That is, I am God. And I've made some lesser ones under me. Wow. I am God, and I've made some lesser ones under me. Who are those lesser ones? You and me. Lesser gods here. Mm-hmm. And I have given them a dominion, and in that domain, the dominion under them is the earth. Men had dominion over the earth, and all the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. Oh, is that right? Wait, God is trying to place his church in a position to manifest himself.
Yes.
Getting one that he can walk through like this. Say, there is my spirit flowing freely. Very here and place him. I can place him. Adopt, placing, manifesting. Take him out here and put a sermon on him. Visit him with an angel. Tell him something. Now, if he's the truth, now if he's just making up something, it won't work. Now you say, that won't work. We've had a lot of that. But I mean, manifestations of sons of God. When God manifests himself and he sends him out, and then he goes forth, and what he says is truth. What he does is truth. What he does, he manifests Christ.
Amen.
How you judge him? By the way he stays with the word. Wow. Not by how many miracles you perform. No, but by the way you stay with the word.
Amen.
Right? With the word. See? That is how you know all of man. It is by the way he stays with the word. If they speak not according to the word, there is no life in them, says the Bible. You leave them alone. Amen. See? So, God is looking for the character, somebody who can obey his word, walk according to his word, live according to his word, behave according to his word, act according to his word, just do everything according to his word. Just as Abraham says, just believe the word. Don't put your own reasoning or your own interpretation, but just say what the word says.
Amen, amen.
See, now God Hid it from the eyes of the wise. Maybe before I come to that, let me just read something here. God is looking for the character. Oh, just something here, page 93, 98. Amen. He's looking for character. People who can have a character that can obey the word. He says here in paragraph 74, page 98 of adoption. Now, God took you into the body of Christ. Now, what does he do? After you have proved yourself, sanctified yourself with your good behavior, obedient to the Holy Spirit, no matter what the world says. Amen. I'm going to have this really hard. See, because I don't mean it. Then he goes to talk about ladies and everything like that. But what the prophet is trying to say, he is looking for character. Amen. Amen? Amen. He's looking for that character in you, in me. How are we responding to the world? How are we behaving ourselves to the world? How are we walking? Are we still having the desire of the world? Are we still walking and believing the world? Are we still reasoning the world? See, these are deep things that God is revealing only to the predestined sons. Here it says in the message, the serpent seed. God hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but promised to reveal it to the sons of God in the last days, where the sons of God would be made manifest. So all these mysteries to know who you are, what about adoption and all that, is only revealed the sons of God, not everybody. And that's why even in the message, when you talk about Godhood and all that, they don't understand it, because it is not for them. It's only for the sons of God. I love that. When God's sons that rejoice with him before the foundation of the world, amen, when the great revelation of the Godhead and those things will be brought down to the last days, he will manifest these things to the sons of God.
Amen.
You know the scripture teaches that, and here we are. That's why we are gathered here.
Yeah.
Is that right? Because God is revealing all these secrets to us, to know who he is and to know who we are to him. That's the reason that God is opening these things to us. God is bringing his sons into the manifestation of adopted sons.
Amen.
He is going beyond the limitation of any human knowledge. Way into the spiritual revelation and bring it down. Amen. So, with our carnal mind, we can't perceive the things. When you talk about the manifesting sons of God coming to speak things again to existence, as with Jesus, as with the Father in this hour. Amen. And I believe that's why some are pushing it only back to Brother Brenner. But it is for all sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Who have come adoption. Amen. Wow. Can I read another quote here? Just a moment. 114 again. That was just regarding this one. I think so. Let me read it again. Is that right? Waiting. God is trying to place his church in a position to manifest himself. Mm-hmm. Not to manifest anything or to manifest anybody, but to manifest God himself. Getting one that he can work through like this. Oh yes, I think I get that one. Okay. Now, God is waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. That's the message. What was the Holy Ghost given for? Mm-hmm. Preached in 54. Is that right? Okay. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us his fullness. Just like the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus Christ bodily. Now he's waiting again for sons and daughters of God to get the fullness of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. Just like it was in Jesus Christ. When God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together, till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead, and we go into the rapture. Are we to raise the dead? Yes, that's what the prophet is trying to tell us. When we get the fullness of the Godhead bodily in us, then the dead can be raised.
Right.
The blind can see.
Yep.
The cripple will walk.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. That's what God is waiting for. When we be adopted sons, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. So it was supposed only to be in Jesus, but it's also supposed to be in the sons,
yes,
of God. Amen. I love that. So, is that where we are supposed to be? Is that our desire? Is that our prayer?
Yeah.
As sons of God, we are praying that the fullness of God will come and embody us. As we said in the morning, the stage of a perfect man. We have all the seven virtues. Because the seven virtues are the characters of the Father. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we have to go all the way to adoption. Mm-hmm. Whether we are going through trials and temptation or so, because that is to prove the love that you have for the Father. Because God has to try us. He has to tempt us. Praise God. But in all, you remain standing on the promises. Standing with the word of God. One of the critics will say this. They try to sway you from the mind of Christ. But you see, the love of God is embedded in your heart. Here the prophet says, let me read something in the church age book. Amen. He says here, but God said that his love was elective. The elective love. The proof of his love is election. That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that we're chosen unto salvation. Because God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as did Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. But in all, it has a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, then you will be the author of frustration and not of peace. Meaning that when we are sons, born again in the kingdom of God, as we say that we are predestinated unto adoption. So we have to be tried, like Jesus Christ was tried. to come to his adoption. So that's why the prophet said that he can commit us into suffering. He can commit us into sickness. He can commit us to anything. But in him, he has predestinated you to adoption. And when you stand with the word until the end, you come to adoption. Because you have a purpose for it. If you don't have a purpose, then you will be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we will be made perfect. Be established, strengthened, and settled. As God said, he puts strength in us. You see, he himself suffered. He lacked obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Though he was a son, as you are also a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does obedience come? By the things that we suffer.
Amen.
You remain holding to the word.
Yes.
You remain standing with the word. You remain speaking what the word says.
Amen.
He became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus Christ was perfected by suffering. And according to Paul, he had left his church a mention of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Amen. And why does he do all this? The reason is in Romans chapter 8, verse 17-18. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You saw me that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Amen.
For I recall that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not revealed to us.
Amen.
The glory is already in us.
Amen.
The glory shall be revealed in us. Wow. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic.
Yep. Amen.
But power with character is fit to rule.
Hallelujah.
And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and sat down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporal sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes.
Amen.
Oh, what a treasure laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. See, when you are born as a son, you have to go through a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Rejections, everything calling you names.
Yeah.
Oh, but you stand with us, says the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Sickness may come, trials may come, temptations may come, but you are standing with the Word.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why all these trials come, because they come to shape our character.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the character of the Father in us. And when we have the character of the Father in us, then we come to our adoption. Amen. See? So we have to go all the way to adoption. And then you find out that every trial pushes the seed to be a predestinated position. I will repeat that again. Every trial pushes the seed. Depending on which seed you are, whether you are the seed of God or you are the seed of the serpent, the trials will push you to your predestinated position. Yes. You see? For example, when you look at the trial Lucifer and Michael, the trial was on worship. And Lucifer was pushed to his predestinated position, and Michael went to his predestinated position. And that's why, because we are predestinated to adoption through this message, Brother Branham brought every word so that you cannot be defeated. You cannot fail. Amen. That's why Brother Branham prayed the message. Amen. God's chosen place of worship. Because the trial is going to come on that. So he has to show you the only chosen place of worship, which Lucifer failed. But Michael went to his position. It was only a trial. Is that right? Then when it came to Cain and Abel, it was on revelation. Cain went to his position, and Abel also went to his position. And that's what the prophet Peter said, Revelation book of symbols. Lot and Abraham, it was separation. It was a trial. And God was just watching Abraham, what he was going to do. But when he decided to separate from Lot, then God says, "Now, look north, look south, look east, look west. I shall give everything to you." So when God, when a trial comes on your way, God just watches. Because he knows in you there is a word to overcome it. And that's why today in the message, the true believer of this message will overcome every trial. And push him to his position. Because the whole word was brought in plain view. You see, like Ishmael and Isaac, the trial was on the choosing. The choosing of the bride. Is that the prophet put the message to the bride? Ishmael is the mother who chose for him. But Isaac is the father who told him, "Go to my people." The choosing of the bride. And now, when you come to Esau and Jacob, it was food. That was the trial. Their trial was on food. And that's why the prophet put the message, spiritual food in due season. And that's why Isaac took the spiritual food in due season to the father and gave the blessing. And Jacob came out of season and he missed the blessing. Are we together, brothers? Now, and it comes to Reuben and Joseph, their trial was on women. The Bible says, Reuben climbed on the bed of the father, but Joseph ran away from the woman. And that's why the prophet put a message, that woman Jezebel. You have to run away from her. Amen. When it comes to Orpha and Ruth, the problem was the power of decision. It was just a trial for them. And when Orpha decided to go back, you could not hear anything about her. But when Ruth decided by the power that was in her, she was married in Israel. And she brought forth the father of David, I think. Amen. Through the power of decision. And that's why every believer now has the power to decide. By the Holy Spirit. So all the message the prophet preached, it was to bring you to your position so that the devil cannot cheat you anywhere. Amen. Then the two thieves on the cross, one was saved and one was lost. It was the approach to God. Amen? And as the prophet Peter mentioned, the approach to God. And then you come to a rich young man and Peter. The trial was on forsaking. The rich young ruler could not forsake all. But Peter forsook all. He forsook the nets, he forsook the sheep, he forsook even the fish he caught that day. And then he was given the keys of the kingdom. That was his position. So every trial will push the sheep to eat his predestined position. Simon and the harlot. The trial was the attitude. And who is God? And that's why the sins of the harlot were forgiven. And the sins of Simon, they remain. Amen? Dathan and Caleb, their trouble was on respect to God's servants. And that's why Caleb went to the promised land and he came for his mountain. Dathan was swallowed up. So every seed, whether the seed of the serpent or the seed of God, every trial you get, and it can be the same trial, but this one pushes you to your position, this one also pushes you to their position of adoption. Amen?
Amen.
Peter and Judas, the same trial. The Bible says all of them rejected Jesus. Peter rejected Jesus. Is that right? But that was why the prophet Peter said, God, rich in mercy. Peter was forgiven, and Judas went and hung himself. Amen. Micaiah and Zedekiah, they were all anointed prophets, and you could not differentiate them. That's why the prophet put a message, the anointed ones in the end time. What about Moses and Balaam? All of them were true prophets. The prophet Balaam says, Balaam was a prophet of God. And what is prophesied came to pass. They were all God's prophets. And after the prophet prayed the message, God using his gifts. So, Balaam was a prophet and God used the gift in you. Amen. So, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that every trial will push the seed to its predestined position of adoption. And that's why I found that Joseph, amen, he was predestined unto adoption. But he didn't know I was going to come to his adoption. The father just sends him, Joseph, come here. And remember the Bible says, Joseph was obedient son. And the father loved him. But he had to go through his adoption. And he didn't know how he was going to come to his adoption. But he had to be sent by the Father, God, pushing you to your predestinated position.
Amen.
And when he went, the brother said to him, said, there comes a dreamer. And then they pushed him in the pit. Mm-hmm. But where is Joseph going? He might have thought, now I'm finished, I'm gone. But he was going to his predestinated position. And the Bible says that he was pulled out of the pit and then he was taken to Potiphar's house. Where are you going, Joseph? I don't know. But he's going to his predestined position. Out of Potiphar's house, he goes to prison. And then from prison to power. Amen. That was his predestined position and he was now his adoption. Joseph from pit to Potiphar's house to prison to power.
Yep.
So his trial was pit. I don't know what yours is going to be. But every trial you are going to go through is pushing you to your adoption. It's pushing you to your position. Amen. See, that's why you find Jesus, he has to go to Gethsemane. From Gethsemane to Golgotha. From Golgotha to prison. I mean to the grave. And from the grave to glory. To his position. That was predestined before the foundation of the world. Amen. What about David? David, he had to kill a bear. He had to kill a lion. He had to kill Goliath. Then he comes to the throne. Every bit of it was a trial on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't know where he was going because he was already anointed by Samuel, which was the message of that time. Like we are anointed by the message of Brother Branham. Because Samuel was a prophet of that day. And he anointed him with a horn anointing. And Saul was anointed with vile anointing. And that's why you find that many people just have the vile anointing of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But you need to have the horn anointing.
Yeah.
That will bring you to your predestined position. Amen? So David, killing the bear, killing the lion, killing Goliath, and eventually he ends up in the throne. Wonderful. And then, what about the bride? You and me. We have to come to justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the prophet says, then the Holy Ghost himself. That is our position. That is our promise. Amen. I love that. So, every seed of God, you have to come through trials. And you don't know why your trial is pushing you. But as a true seed of God from today, when you come to any trial, you know that the trial is pushing you to your predestinated position. Just like it did unto Joseph, like it did unto Jesus, like it did unto David. It all brings us to our predestinated position. That's what God wants us to be. And you can't come to adoption unless you have been tried and tested by the Holy Spirit. So we must be ready as sons and daughters of God to come to our positions. We must come to our adoption. How do we come to adoption, brother? We have to be tested. You have to be tried. And when you are tried, you don't know that God is pushing you, pushing you, pushing you to your position that God has ordained for you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. So, me, every time I go through a trial, I know God is pushing me to my a position.
Amen.
And I thank God for every trial. I thank God for every temptation. Amen?
Amen?
Because I know God is pushing me to my position. He's pushing me to my position. Joseph was wondering, but God, the visions I saw, the dreams I saw, my brother's boiling before me, and my father boiling before me, and now I'm in a pit. Oh, he didn't know that God was pushing him to his predestinated position. So I just want to say, as I'm finishing, brother, sister, the trial that you are going through, the temptation that you are going through, the hard things you are going through, maybe the rejection that you are going through, God is pushing you as a son to come to your predestinated position.
Amen.
What is your predestinated position? Adopted sons.
Mm-hmm.
Adopted daughter of God. Where you can speak like God is not speaking. May God bless you. As we go ahead, word of prayer. Our mighty Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again, Lord, because we are to be manifested sons of God in this end time. Every creature is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we have to realize who we are, to know our positions. And now we have known that we were predestinated unto adoption. And for us to come to our adoption, we have to be tried, we have to be tested, that we may come the character of our Father. Because without the character of the Father, we cannot rule with Him. And that's why Joseph had to go through all that he went through, not realizing that you are pushing into his adoption. Even us, we might be going through very hard situations, we may be going through hard trials. Neither do we realize you are pushing us to our adoption, to our predestinated positions. But the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that every time we go through trials, we go through temptations, we go through hardships, it is you pushing us to our predestined position before the foundation of the world. May you help each one of us, O Father, help every brother, every sister to realize that the position that you predestined unto us, and we must come to our positions. Grant it, Father, as we ask this song. Maybe if there is somebody who has a need and you want us to share in prayer, you can just raise up your hand and we shall pray together. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are the God who created us in your own image. And Lord, you say, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are ours. You look at the hands that have been raised up, you know behind those hands their needs, their desires. Maybe they are trials, they are temptations, they are hardships. But Lord, you are the God who answers all our desires. For you are the high priest who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, may you go behind every hand that has been raised up. And Lord, Father, may you grant unto each of them the desires of their heart. If it be healing, if it be deliverance, if it's a spiritual problem, a physical problem, you grant it unto them, Father, through thy Son Jesus. Because you say, whatsoever you ask in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, we shall receive it. And we ask this because, Lord, you spoke it, you said it. So we ask every need to be granted out of his hands. Maybe some may be needing children or they want different sex or whatever. Lord, you know the needs that are behind them. Father, some want to walk closer with you. Some want not to have victory. Some want that spiritual walk, Father. May you grant unto them, Father, as we come to the end of the service. May you bless each one of us, Father, and make us grow from glory to glory as we come to our predestined position before the foundation of the world. Grant, Father, bless the pastor, Brother Brian, who has had such a good heart to even invite me to this place, oh Father. I'm not worthy, Lord, Father, to be here, but I thank you because of your grace and your mercy and your predestination. May you bless this congregation. Bless each one of them, Father, for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Here we meet. Oh, yes. Here we meet. Here we meet.
At Jesus' feet.
Hallelujah.
Here we meet. Here we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
And then if we change the order of service now to communion, and we open our Bibles to John chapter 13, we take our text for the communion service. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rising from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answering said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only then, but my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he saith unto him, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? Now you call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, Buy those things which you have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also be glorified, shall glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. For this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Yes, Lord.
That you please forgive it, God. And more, I just ask you all this name, the precious Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we hold before us this wine, Lord, that represents the shed blood at Calvary, Father, Lord. And you say, as often as you should do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to remember, Father, and Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to be your sons and daughters, Father. Help us to realize our blessings, Father, and we love you for everything that you do for us in our lives and those that partake, Lord, tonight, come through this line. May their portions be met, Lord, that there be deliverance, Lord, or healing from sickness, Father, as they take communion tonight. May you grant it to them, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Number 375. Just as I am. Just as